Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 20. 2 Kings, chapter 20. We'll read verses 8 through 11 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Second Kings, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees? Or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for a church that's concerned truly about people, concerned about pleasing you. Well, Father, I pray that you be with our preacher, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Lord, may we walk out of our church today much differently than the way we walked in. We're sinful, we're needy. May the truth be burned deeply into our hearts and our minds, but not just enough to say we've gotten a new truth, but to do something with it. Change our lives because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon today is called Under the Shadow. Under the Shadow. We will travel to Washington, D.C. next Saturday, and 8 teams of soul winners will go soul winning. We will want God's shadow of protection about us. I hope from time to time through the week that you'll pray that everything goes well next Saturday for all of these soul winners and all that God will do. The Bible says in Psalm 91, verse number 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Moses is the one that penned that passage of Scripture. And the Bible talks about the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow. Thank God for shadows. We so often, a shadow is such a seemingly a natural occurrence, we don't realize that God gave us shadows to be reminded of Him. Psalm 91, God tells us He provides His shadow. And there's a shelter as a result of the shadow of God. Now, I want to tell you a story. It's not a real well-known story. We read it together just a few minutes ago from 2 Kings chapter 20. It's a very interesting and a very unique story. King Hezekiah was sick unto death. Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and tells him, Isaiah being the preacher, goes to the king, Hezekiah, and tells him, you need to go ahead and set your house in order because you are going to die. Hezekiah, the Bible says, turns his face to the wall. Isaiah, the preacher, begins to walk out. He's walked out of the king's room. Now the preacher is getting ready to leave the king's property. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall, and he begins praying and begging God to spare his life. The Bible says in verse number 3 that Hezekiah began to weep. He reminded God that he had served him with a perfect heart and that he loved God and wanted everybody to get settled and everybody to look right this way now. Look right this way. So Isaiah has gone to Hezekiah, said, get your house in order, you're going to die. Isaiah turns and he walks out. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall. He begins to cry. He begins to pray. He reminds God that he loved God and he had tried to serve him with his heart. Before Isaiah could leave the king's property, God said to Isaiah, Isaiah, you turn around, you go back into King Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer. You go tell him, I heard him weep and I heard him pray. God then gives Hezekiah a promise. He said, I'm going to heal you and I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. Now God tells that king, he tells him this good news through the prophet Isaiah. Hezekiah then says, I need something more here. Can you prove that to me, Isaiah? I mean, you just told me, God told me he was going to spare my life and give me 15 more years of life. And Isaiah said, here's what God's going to do. God is going to confirm his promise to you of 15 additional years of life, and he's going to use his shadow to accomplish it. His shadow? Isaiah said, God is going to use his shadow on the sundial. Have you ever seen an old-fashioned sundial? We use watches now, but they used to use a sundial. And as the sun would come into the air, that dial, it would turn and let you know what time it was. And Isaiah said, God's going to use his shadow, and he is going to confirm to you this promise of letting you live 15 extra years. Using a sundial, he could move that sundial using his shadow. He can move the sundial 10 degrees forward, or he could move it 10 degrees backwards. God has a shadow, and he has power over the sun. And Hezekiah said, well, if that's the way God wants to prove it to me, I'll let God do that. He said, but let's let the clock go backwards. Not forward, because the clock going forward, that's natural. That it's going to go forward one way or another. And so Hezekiah said, well, let's let the clock go backwards. Isaiah prayed and told God, and God used his shadow in the Bible here, and he caused the sun to move and the sundial to go backwards in time instead of forward in time. And Hezekiah went, boy, God meant it, that he was going to take care of me and God was going to extend my life. The shadow of God brought peace to Hezekiah's troubled heart. Now, God's shadow pictures God's promise to care for our needs. Let me explain something to you. In the Judean hills, there are no trees. It's very, very hot. And with, of course, that means if there are no trees, then there's not shade, because trees provide shade. Shade, then, to the Jew, was a very vital part of his life. He was often looking for shade so that he would be kept cool. Any person that was walking from Jericho to Jerusalem would love to have shade of any kind. Now, it's unbelievable how hot somebody can become without some shadow or shade. The Jews were always looking for shade of some sort. They were always looking for a shadow. Why? To get the glaring sun off of them. They would look for the shade of the inside of a tent. They would look for the shade or the shadow from a tree. They would look for a bush that would give them shade or shadow. They would look for a big rock that would provide shade or a shadow. Now, our Lord, when he was wanting to tell the Jews how much he loved them, he chose to use a figure of speech that they would understand and truly appreciate. God says to his people back then, he said, I am a shadow that is available for your help. Psalm chapter 121, verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Remember the verse that I gave you earlier, Psalm 91:1. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God knew that if he told the Jews he was going to be a shade or a shadow to them, that they would understand that meant that God was going to give them protection and God was going to be there for them. God was going to shield them from the hardship of life. That's why God uses this word shadow in his scripture. God's shadow mentioned throughout the Bible. But that's why it's mentioned like that. Now, what I want us to do this morning is I'm going to show you some places in the Bible where God mentions his shadow. And folks, from this day forward, I wish when you see a shadow that you would be reminded that God gave the shadow, that you might be reminded that He is up there and He is watching over you, and that He provides for you and I a certain watch care. Shadows are everywhere. Why? Because God wanted you and I to know that He's there, and His shadow means that He's present. And if the shadow means that He's up there and He's aware and He's watching out for us. Let me show you what I mean. For instance, the shadow of the rock of our salvation. Isaiah 32 verse 2 says this, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Now, anytime you're looking in the Bible, you're going to find that God is the rock. He's the rock. God is our rock. You see, this is talking about the rock of protection, and it's actually the rock of our salvation. You've heard the song, "Jesus is the rock of my salvation." Why is that? You get under a rock gives you protection, a rock provides for you a shadow, like the shadow or the coolness of a cave. Anytime a person gets weary and they're tired, if they can find a great big rock, especially if you can find a rock that's near water, you get under that. It's like air conditioning. Have you ever noticed it? Have you ever been super hot and you needed someplace? If you could find a big rock near water, you would feel like this is air conditioned. What was God doing? You say, well, that's just science. There's a reason for it. No, that's just God. That's God saying, I am the one that provides you that cooling. God said, my shadow is there. A cave provides shelter from the heat of life. David found the shadow of shelter in a cave when he was running from Saul. Sir, hey, in the back of the auditorium, but somebody, just Brother Bush, help this fellow get a seat. I'm watching you, and you're frustrating. I don't mean to be unkind, but you're back there looking through papers and fiddling around. Okay, thank you. All right. Get under the shadow of God's protection. Listen. This shadow that we see here, where the Bible talks about a great rock, Jesus being the rock of our salvation, you and I, in salvation, we have protection by God. We sing the song, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." What are we talking about? Salvation. Where did we get that wording here in the Bible? You and I get to climb inside Jesus, the rock of our salvation. Let me hide myself in there. We sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand." There it is. There's the rock of my salvation. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you say, "Brother Owens, life is hot and life is dry and life is empty. I feel like I'm in a desert. Is there any reprieve?" Yes, let Jesus Christ become the rock of your salvation. Climb inside the rock. And let me tell you something. There is a reprieve when you get saved. It's like that rock by the water, and you climb in, and there's air conditioning for your spirit when you get born again. He is more than just a rock on which we stand. He is the rock in which we stand. You see, He is our shelter in the time of storm. You say, "What storm?" Look, I am not in a storm in regard to my eternity. I'm saved. If you're unsaved, you probably have some turmoil and a storm going on about you because you don't know where you're going to go when you die. That's a storm. Jesus is the rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in your time of spiritual storm. You're wondering, "What's going to happen to me when I die?" Hey, climb in the rock of our salvation. Get born again. Are you saved this morning? Now, there are lots of people that promote a lot of different rocks for salvation. I believe you're saved through Jesus Christ and Him alone. You don't get saved by getting baptized. That's the wrong rock. You don't get saved by being confirmed. That's the wrong rock. You don't get saved by doing good deeds. That's the wrong rock. You don't get saved by joining a church. That's the wrong rock. Hey, there is the rock of my salvation, and Jesus is the rock of my salvation. You need to get born again. The shadow of the rock will calm you about your eternity. If you're saved, why don't you kick back and enjoy the refreshing shadow of the rock of our salvation? Say, Bones, what's tomorrow hold? You know something? I don't know what tomorrow holds for anybody, but I do know one thing. Those of us that are saved, our eternity holds heaven. What a rock. I get Jesus is the rock of my salvation. But not only that, I see here in the Bible the shadow of the rock of his, the security of being in his hand. You see, when I get saved, the Bible says he then puts me in his hand. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 2 says, "And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me." There's a shadow again. There's that shadow. And God, Isaiah said, God has put me in the shadow of his hand. What's he talking about? He's talking about their security in God's hand. That reminds me of the New Testament verse from John chapter 10. Listen to this. Verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." Hey, when you get saved, you're climbing into the rock of our salvation, and then he wraps his hand around you, and you're saved from the storms of life in there. And your salvation is safe inside the rock. What does it mean there in John 10? It means when a person comes to Jesus for salvation, he is placed then in the shadow of the hand of God. It refers to our security in Christ Jesus. Once you get saved, he keeps you saved. Notice it does not say that we're under the shadow, but we're in the shadow. Once you get saved, you are no longer just under the shadow of his hand, but you are in the shadow of his hand. I use a breath freshener. It's called the Sweet Breath. I carry a little bottle of it with me everywhere I go. Let me show you something. This, if this were a Christian, when you get saved, I could put my hand over the top of that bottle of Sweet Breath, and I could cause a bit of a shadow there. I can see it here on my pulpit. You say, well, that's good. I'd like to be under his shadow like that. That's not how it is for the Christian, though. You see, with my hand there, there are things that could get to me from the right, the left, in front, and back. But let me tell you, when I got saved, God said, "Let me show you what I'm going to do with you, Jeff. I'm putting you in my hand and wrapping my hand around you. Nothing can get to you." I have the security of not being just on the rock, but I'm in the rock. I have the shadow. I have that rock of salvation, but I am in the rock. That's how secure my salvation is. In his hand, there is great security. Look, folks, Noah, when he and his family faced that flood, the safest place was in the ark. Not near the ark. Said, well, hey, and that big old ark probably did cast off a little bit of shadow, but I'm guaranteeing when the water started falling, the people on the outside said, "I don't want to be just near the ark, I want to be in the ark. I'm born again, I got saved, Jesus is the rock of my salvation, and that salvation, he placed me in his hand, and I'm secure there. And no man, including myself, can pluck me out of the Father's hand." See, we don't hold on to him for salvation, he holds on to us. My wife and I were watching a thing. You ever seen those things called the funniest home videos they show on TV? And they had a great big long series of people with baseball bats. And they showed this kid swing the bat, swing all the way around, let loose of the bat, and throw his bat right through a big, gorgeous stained glass picture window. Why? He didn't have a good grip. Let me tell you something, folks. God's got enough rosin on his hand, he's never lost one. when God placed you into his hand, he said, I am the rock of your salvation. You're not just standing on the rock. You're in the rock, and you are secure, and you are safe, and God is not going to lose. He's got a good grip on you. You're not hanging on to him for salvation. He's hanging on to you. You didn't save yourself, and you don't keep yourself. He did the saving. He does the keeping, and you're saved. Your salvation is secure. Your eternity is settled. Heaven is yours. Death is your victory. The shadow of the security of your salvation is constant. You know, you ever been out mowing grass or something, and it's treacherously hot, and you get around the trees, and you go from in the sun to out of the sun, and in the sun to out of the sun. Shade and then no shade. Shade and then no shade. Shadow then no shadow. Let me tell you something. That's how some of you think salvation is. I'm saved, well now I'm not. Well I'm saved, well now I'm not. Well I'm saved, well now, no I'm not. No, you are placed in the center of God's hand, and you are constantly under the shadow of the protection of Jesus, the rock of our salvation. You're not in and then out, and then in and then out, and then in and out. Once you get in, you're in, and it's final. But wait a minute, there's another shadow I see in the Bible. The shadow of the safety that we find under his wings. The Bible says in Psalm 63:7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. There's that shadow. There's security there. There's safety there. It talks about there's a rejoicing that goes on when you're in that shadow. Psalm 91:4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. The word shield and buckler there is talking about armor. It's talking about God's shadow becomes like an armor. It becomes a safety for you and I. God also, as he compares this, he says that it says he shall cover thee with his feathers. What's it talking about? Being covered up. So God here likens his protecting shadow of care to a mother hen or an eagle who would cover her chicks for safety. I remember back when I was a kid, they used to have this little clip on public TV, a thing called The Wild Kingdom. Any of you remember back when they used to show The Wild Kingdom? And it was about outdoors, and it was about animals and the different species and things. I remember one time them showing how a mother bird, when a storm would come, a mother bird would get her baby chicks around her, and they would all curl in underneath her wings. I watched on that show a hailstorm. I'm talking about big balls of ice just plummeting to the ground. I watched them show a mother bird virtually get beat to death while the hailstorms fell upon her while she pulled her baby chicks in and kept them safe. Now let me tell you something. If a chicken will protect its young, don't you think that the God of the universe would protect his kids? So let me tell you something. When I got saved, I got in the rock. But wait a minute. The shadow doesn't come and go. Once I got saved, I'm always saved because I'm kept in the shadow of his hand. But wait, now that I'm saved, now that I'm secure, he said, in your everyday life, I'm going to give you safety. I'll be like a mother hen. When a storm of life comes, I'm going to cover you with my wings. So we have the shadow of salvation. We have the shadow of his wings and the security. Jesus spreads his wings of protection about us, and this shadow gives us safety every day. Matthew 23:37, Jesus looked at Jerusalem and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would have I gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, which you would not. Now let me tell you something, folks. When God wants to gather you in and keep you safe, if I were you, I'd be gathered. I'd say, hey, God says, come on in here where it's safe. You better come in where it's safe. Let me tell you something. It's safe in the New Testament church. It's safe in the will of God. Hey, backslidden Christian, you better get back to Jesus. Some of you, you're getting out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection. Stay in his will. Why? Because his wings will gather you in and keep you safe. Now, we all understand the importance of protecting a little child. God calls us his little children. There are just times when I run to him and ask him to give me protection. This week, it was kind of an odd week for me. I had two different pastors call me, ready to quit their churches, ready to resign. They'd had it. Both of them. Now I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Pastor said to me, I'm tired of the people complaining. You can't keep anybody happy. Said, no matter what I do, they're unhappy with it. Everybody griping and complaining and nipping and tearing each other to shreds. Pastor said, Brother Owens, I've just had it. I just had it. Another pastor called me. He said, Brother Owens, the financial burden of the ministry, said, if I get up and tell the people they need to give, they're virtually offended with it. But if I don't get up and tell them to give, I got people that won't give and do right. He said, I've just had it. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of being under pressure all the time. Now, both men called for a reason. They called because they knew what I'd do. I'd say, now you come on here, over here, and I'm going to try to help you. I took my wings and I tried to cover them a little bit. And I said, I'll help you through this. We'll figure this out. He said, well, Brother Owens, am I ever going to get this? You know, well, I'd like to have church like yours where the people don't complain. I said, no, my church is just 10 times bigger than yours. You multiply your complaints. But I tried to help them. And they wore me out. I was on the phone also. Let me explain. Two that were going to their pulpit this morning to resign. Good men. Good men. Old-fashioned fundamentalists. Soul winners. Just wore out from the attack of Satan and wore out because their family had undergone such difficulty. Wore out. Called to tell me, I'm quitting. I've had it. I'll guarantee you, I know both men walked to their pulpits today and preached the Word of God, and they didn't resign. I know they didn't resign. They promised me they weren't going to resign. And I promised them that I would do what I could to help them. But by the time I was done, I was wore out. I said, what'd you do? I went to my office and I said, Lord, I need your wings. I know what they're saying. I understand. And I climbed in under the wings of the Almighty. I said, Lord, I feel a little bit, I sometimes feel the hailstorm. And I don't think I can take the beating by myself. Help me. God said, Jeff, you come on over here to me. He took his wings and he wrapped them around me. And I could hear the hailstorm and I could hear the thunder and the wind. And God said, you relax, Jeff. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to let them hit you. I'm going to be there for you. Now, folks, you listen to me. The security of God. God said, I'm like a mother eagle, and you're my children, and I'm going to pull you in. I'm going to protect you. Don't run from the protection. Run to the protection. Hey, busy mom, wore out, stressed in the rearing of the children, and some doing it by yourself without help. And let me tell you something. Run to his wings of protection. Run to the shadow of his wings. Busy dad, beat up at work, wondering how you're going to make ends meet. Hey, you run to the shelter and the shadow of his wings. Hey, busy church staff member, get in under that shadow. Businessman, wore out and wore down from the rat race of society and success. Run to his wings. Keep under his shadow. I was thinking this. Mrs. Alan Domley, Sandy Domley, last Sunday was driving home from church. Some of you don't know. She was in a head-on car wreck. She could have been killed. But I'll make you a promise. God's shadow of protection was over her. I believe this. Probably a lost person could have died. But the shadow of his wings had come over her. I think of the men that are going to be principals at Martinsburg Christian Academy. Brother Doss, Brother Cowling. Hard job. Job with a lot of pressure. Men, get under the shadow of his wings. You say, Brother Owens, I can't seem to make anybody happy. You won't when you're dealing with people's kids. You won't. Well, where am I going to find a reprieve? Get under the shadow of the Almighty. Feel like this. Here's a stress management technique that is recommended in all the psychology books. Picture yourself near a stream. Birds are softly chirping in the crisp, cool mountain air. And you are shadowed by a rock. No one knows your secret place. You're in total seclusion from the hectic place called the world. The soothing sound of a gentle waterfall fills the air with a cascade of serenity. The water is clear. You can easily make out the face of the person you're holding under the water. There. Are you not feeling better? You say, what am I going to do? Run to the shadow of his wings. He provided us that shadow so we can snuggle up close. When you got saved, not only are you on the rock, you are in the rock. And then he said, I'll put you in my hand. And he said, I'm going to keep you there. Then I'm going to keep you safe like a mama bird would keep her little bird safe. And not only that, the shadow of this tree is a shadow of provision. Song of Solomon said, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The lover in the Song of Solomon compares the shadow of that fruit tree. And he says, I sat down and I felt the fruit tree and I tasted of the fruit. And it kept me both in a shadow, but it met my need. You see, our God is a need provider. You see, our God wants to help you. You say, how will I make it in this time of economic difficulty? Set under God's fruit tree of provision. Stay in God's will. Don't panic and run into the desert. Stay under the shadow of the fruit tree of God. Don't run from God. The most fruitful place in the world for a Christian is under God's tree. Pastors say, well, what are you doing to help yourself financially during these difficult days, brother Owens? We're bearing fruit. We're under the fruit tree. We're going to Washington. We're going to see 1,000 people saying, I want there to be fruit everywhere. Why? Where there are fruit, there are trees. Where there are trees, there is shade. He said, well, you said that doesn't make business sense to me. It makes scriptural sense. You tell me what churches God's going to watch out for. The ones that are bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Why are we going? I think God will bless us financially if we go. Now we're spending money. No, we're getting soul saved. We're getting soul saved. How can we live during this recession? Live under God's apple tree. Say, how are we going to make it? Stay under the fruit tree. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because I live under his peach tree of provision. Parents, you say, why did a parent come to me and say, Brother Owens, I don't know how in the world I want my kids in the Christian school. I do not know how in the world I'm going to be able to do it. And I said, I believe God will provide if you'll just stay right with God. I really believe that. I said to them, you do all you can and God will do the rest. Now, that's part of the problem today. A lot of people are not willing to do all they can. They won't give up cable TV. They won't give up eating steak. I'll tell you something. When it was time for my kids to go to the Christian school, we were ready to sacrifice whatever it took to sacrifice to get the kids in the school. It wasn't a financial decision for us. But stay under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what the parents did? Came back to me and said, you're right, Brother Owens. God's made a way. God has made a way. Those of you that are fearful of your future, stay under the apple tree of God's shadow. I often ask myself, how can I continue to spiritually feed this group of people? I'll tell you, I want to meet your needs. And I was telling Paul Mongan this the other day. He and I were having a meeting, and I said, Paul, I'm sure our people get cheated in my organizational ability and with my personality, and there's so many things that you get cheated about. I'll tell you something. There are two areas in life, as sincere as I know how to say it, that you're not getting cheated. You don't get cheated in regard to a pastor that walks with God and prays. And then you don't get cheated in regard to the food that is doled out from this pulpit. And I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I mean, my people, they're quite well trained. I mean, sermon after sermon after sermon. And it says, and it's not rerun. And I go to God and I say, God, I need to feed them again. You say, Brother Owens, where do you get it? I live under the apple tree of truth. I go post myself under the apple tree of the Word of God. And I say, God, I'm going to live here. I want to live in your shadow. I want the fruit from the tree of truth to fall. I want to gather the apples. I want to fill the apple basket and take it back. I want to give them applesauce and apple pie. I want to give them all that they need to be fed. And an apple a day will keep the doctor away. I'm thinking, I can name names. I believe that God has protected our church and protected our people. One of our good men came to me and he said, Brother Owens, he said, I lost my job and I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, you stay up close to God. He came back a month later. He said, you're not going to believe the good job that I just got. You say, well, all I hear is people losing jobs. No, there are people getting jobs. I could have a raise of hands of people that have gotten jobs in the last year, and hands would be up all over this auditorium. I think God is doing some protecting, and God has spread his wings over the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Young lady came, and she said, Preacher, pray for me. I need to find a job. A week later, she came back and said, you can stop praying. Got the job. Hey, when I got saved, I not only stood on the rock, he said, get in the rock of my salvation. And then he said, I'm going to put you in my hand, and I'll keep you secure there. And then I'm going to provide for you security. You're saved. I'll keep you saved. And then I'll give you security in your life. And then he said, I'm going to meet your needs, and I'm going to be a provider. I'll be the fruit tree and give you provision in life. I'm done, but let me give you one more point. We like that because that's God doing something for us. But I believe this, you and I should provide shadow for one another. They say the Christian army is the only army that kills their own wounded. Let it not be said of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Anybody that's fallen, you could fall too. You be careful that you do not become arrogant and prideful. People that have stepped out of God's will. You could be next, my friend. You and I should help to provide a shadow of protection for each other. I got to reading, and I found in Acts 5:15, it says, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. In verse number 14, it says, many, many people had been saved, and God had used Peter in a powerful way. These people said, we want to get close to this man. This man has God's power on his life, and maybe if we could get under the shadow of his ministry, God would do something for us. That's exactly what happened here. These people had lined up and said, now listen to me. God had used the apostles in a great way. Peter was to pass by a certain place and the sick, and everybody came and said, if they could just get near his shadow, there'd be something special for us. Now, I don't think there's anything all that special and great about Peter, but I can tell you this, there was something great and special about that shadow. Who provided the shadow? God did. God did. God, here's a man, Peter, who allowed himself to be used of God, and Peter allowed himself to become a shadow of protection for others. They looked to Peter to get some help. His shadow brought comfort. His shadow brought hope. His shadow brought encouragement. Of course, the great comforter and the great shadow provider is our God, but I can tell you this. If you and I are going to be like God, then we ought to be willing to provide a shadow for each other. Yes. To who have you provided shade? Who was frustrated in life, dry in life, being burnt up by the sun and the stress of life, and you went and said, I'm going to help keep you safe. I don't want you to suffer a burn in life. To who have you provided care and protection? Can anyone say, I receive strength in her shadow? I receive strength in his shadow. It ought to be that when people get around us, that they feel a reprieve. Hey, you remember earlier I described, and many a time as a boy I'd be out fishing or playing in a field or I'd take my shotgun out and put birdshot in it. I hope you're not an animal rights activist. I love to see how many sparrows I could take down with one shot. You get that shot, you'd take two or three birds down off a telephone line. I remember my dad telling me that wasn't the best thing to do. I can't remember what I did about that. But I'd be hot and dry. And then there was this creek that ran, about a mile away from our house, there's this creek that ran through. And the coolest part of the creek was where there was these big rocks. You go down there where the rocks were and where the creek was, and I am telling you, it was like God made air conditioning. Let me ask you a question. Are you God made air conditioning to anyone? Are you refreshing to anyone's spirit? Could anyone look at you and say, thank God! Thank God for the note you gave me. Thank God for the call. Thank God for the visit. Thank God for the words. Thank God. Or are you just always worried about yourself staying in the shade? Let me tell you something, folks. There are people everywhere that need somebody to love them and somebody to be patient with them and somebody to try to help them. So I'm staying in the cave. What in the world would you think if every sermon I preach it from inside the pulpit? Where I can't see your faces. Where I don't have to worry about people turning up their nose and rolling their eyes and looking at their watches. Say, come on out here where we can see you. Need to get out there. We weren't coming out, I think. I can't spend all my time hiding in the pulpit. Listen, and everybody here, every one of us need to do what we can to be a shelter in the time of storm for one another. If you have been with God, you will act like God. You will be a provider of shadow. Not just one that's always looking for shadow. Protect me. Somebody come help me. Somebody be my need. Somebody calm me down. Somebody be patient with me. Somebody bail me out. Somebody help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. It's time for some Christians to grow up and become helpers. I want to be a shadow to God's people. I want to help God's people. People come in and you say, Brother Owens, I like your church because the sermon's just like this one. Well, you liked it up until 3 minutes ago when I got to this point. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons God doctored you up, we found you in the desert of the world. Your marriage was a mess. Your kids were a mess. Your finances were a mess. Your emotions were a mess. You had dried up. You were parched. Your lips were chapped and dry. We drug you to the well of life. We drug you to the well where there is a water that will cause you to thirst no more. We brought you in. We brought you under the canopy of the New Testament church. We baptized you and started to add a little moisture to your sin-sick soul after you had been dried up by the devil and the world and the alcohol and the drugs and the sex. We brought you in here. We began to anoint you with the oil of gladness. We began to help you to grow. Let me tell you something. We didn't grow you so you could sit there and suck down the water of God all for yourself. If you found a well, let's go to the world and tell them we've got a well in Christ Jesus. Help me, 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 feed me, clothe me, water me, take care of me. Listen, folks, there comes a moment when Jesus hands you a water pail and so good he had. He said, go get some water and take it to somebody. Are you like God? Are you a rock in a weary land? I'll get weary sometimes. I remember not long ago, I was weary and I thought, that's it. I'm calling a pastor friend. I'm calling him. I've got to have a drink of water and somebody else is going to have to give it to me. The very day, and it takes me a little while to get to that point. I thought, okay, on my drive home today, I'm calling him. That afternoon, he called me. He said, Brother, don't you got a minute you can help me? I thought, And when I got the phone call, at first I thought, God is sending the cavalry. No, God sent me the chickens. Say, what'd you do? On the way home, I picked up the phone. Say, who'd you call? Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. I called him. I said, I need a refreshing. Got me a big old drink of water from the never dying word of God. Hey, do you provide by your spirit a refreshing of other people's spirit? Or do you just add to the heat and the stress of life? I mean, it's time for some of us to grow and not just be looking for refreshment, but to be giving it. Wife, are you an oasis for your husband? Are you? Husband, are you an oasis for your wife? I want to be an oasis for my church. I want to say, I'd like to climb in under the rock. I think there are people, and thank God for it, I think there are people that come to church Sunday morning and they just crawl in. I'm so dry. I don't know if I can make it. And I hope somehow, time and time again, we've dipped into the well of life and we've given you a drink of water. And you said, I think I can make it through another week. I got a drink! If you're not saved today, I hope you get born again. Because that thirstiness that you feel deep down within in yourself, it can only be satisfied with the water of God. You tried the liquor. You tried the other things to satisfy. I'll tell you right now, this book tells us everybody's a sinner. This book tells us there's a price on sin. This book tells us that Jesus paid that price with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You must turn to him and ask him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. At that very moment, he'll save you. And some of you will find what you've been looking for. All of a sudden, you will be spiritually in that God-made air conditioning in the rock of your salvation. The sermon is called Under the Shadow. You see, that shadow, his wings, that shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.